This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line on a December 5th. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We hope you had a nice weekend. Of course, the College Football Playoff Committee yesterday on Sunday, right after we signed off, announced the Final Four. We'll get to those games coming up in just a little bit here on the Lombardi Line. Of course, on Mondays, Michael, Pritch joins us, so we have to ask him about Neon Deion. Prime is in Boulder. And he gave a speech that has many divided, and I'll be fascinated to hear what Pritch has to say about his new head coach. Of course, Pritch is a Colorado Buffalo legend, so he'll be joining us coming up in just a little bit. Are you fascinated by threes on the board right now with Tampa? I mean, this is some shops open six. The look ahead was 6.5.
Tells me something. I mean, there's a lot of Bucks that are not healthy. I think that's a concern. And I think the fact that Dennis Allen has kind of played Brady well in Tampa, you know, and they've beaten him in New Orleans. But, you know, I don't trust the rifleman, the redhead rifleman. I don't trust 2020 Andy Dalton, but I think at 3.5, I think it's only a play for me at 3.5. I don't see the going to three. Circus at 3, Westgate's at 3.5. DraftKings here in New Jersey still at 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is one of those where if you're a New Orleans backer, you can find the 3.5. If you're a Tampa backer, you can lay the 3. So let's jump into this. Of course, these two teams played in week 2. It was a 2010 win for the Bucs at New Orleans. But remember, that was a 3-3 game going into the fourth.
It was a lot closer than that. I think Mike Edwards picks up that ball, runs it in, and kind of got away from it. It was a close game. Yeah. It was a closer game.
And
Godwin
and that was Jameis,
in the
though.
Game. That yeah, Jameis had 5 turnovers in that game. I mean, Jameis. They had 5 turnovers in that game. And they're in the game. Think about that, Patrick. They have 5 turnovers in that game, and they're in the game. I mean, this is a chance that if they find a way to win this, they're not out of it yet. They helped Brady. One of the reasons I think this number's moving, they helped Brady. Brady had 188 yards. They had 260 yards of offense the last time they played him.
Now, you mentioned injuries for the Bucs. They're as healthy as they've been at wide receiver. They're a better team at home. But if you dig into the Bucs, they're 27th in points per game. They're 22nd in red zone DVOA. Ryan Succop is a very busy man. A lot of field goal attempts. He's made a lot of the field goals. You wonder if there's a switch that they can flip. When they played each other in week 2, the Bucs were 5 of 17 on third down. So there is something to potentially Allen having a good game plan against Brady.
He confuses them. He makes them uncomfortable. You know, he knows how to pressure them, you know, and so he can create them where he's a little uncertain and, you know, knock off the timing, which is the way the Bucs have played, especially in Cleveland last week. That didn't seem too hard. I mean, their timing wasn't good in Cleveland. I mean, remember, they scored with 7 minutes to go in the second quarter and never scored again in Cleveland. I mean, that's one of those where if you took the Bucks and laid the 3.5, you think, oh, this is pretty good. Man, that was disappointing. The Bucks had every chance to win that game and they gave it away.
Yeah, they completely fell apart against Cleveland. It's weird. You're waiting for that breakout moment. I don't know. You tell me. It does feel like Tampa Bay set up really well tonight because Andy Dalton, you mentioned, the offense, the last 3 of the last 4 weeks, they scored 13 against the Ravens, they scored 10 against the Steelers, and they got shut out the last time out against the 49ers. The passing game just isn't right. This offense just isn't getting it done with New Orleans.
No, and they have, you know, I mean, look, they can't get Kamara going. They can't get Alvin Kamara going, which is the guy that they've got to get going. I mean, he's the key. They didn't have him in the opening game, you know, but they got to get him going. And the one thing about Dennis Allen's defense is, and I think if you like the Saints, it's a little bit like the Rams yesterday. They're the third best red zone defense in football, the New Orleans Saints. And that keeps you in games. If they could get anything out of their offense, out of Andy Dalton, if they can get anything out of him, you know, and, you know, he had the horrible game against Arizona, throw the ball at the end of the half, but they've got to get Kamara going. They've got to be able to run the ball a little bit.
Yeah. You mentioned third lowest touchdown rate in the red zone for that Saints defense. They're 12th and third down conversion defense. So the defense hasn't been the issue. We know this. There is a question.
They just turn the ball over, Patrick. They're 32nd in creating turnovers. They're 31st in giving turnovers. That's their season. That sums up their season. They give the ball away and they can't get it back. They don't create a turnover. You know, they haven't had a turnover. They've had one turnover in the last 6 weeks. Created. And that was against the Raiders. And they only had one in that game.
I'm going through the injury report as well. And we know the offensive line for the Bucs has been an issue all year, Michael. But nothing out of the ordinary as compared to what they've dealt with the last few weeks. I just don't understand that drop. Now, Thomas opened 4.5 and he's down to 3. But there are some shops that opened 6. I don't know if you can give me an answer for that drop. That drop is, and again, they play better at home, Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tampa's right in their locker room. I think there's certain locker rooms that aren't right. I think they're just not right. There's something going on there. I think they're content. You know, where's that hunger? Where's that drive? You know, and we'll see it. I mean, look, they didn't play well against Tampa New Orleans when they played them in week 2. They got what? They didn't really get any. Brady couldn't throw the ball in that game. If they come out with a 260-yard offensive performance in this game, they won't beat the Saints tonight.
I meant to ask you about that because you wrote, I don't know if you wrote it, but Daily Coach today.
Yeah, I did.
And I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a chance to open it. So can you explain to the audience what that was about with Todd Bowles there?
Well, what Bowles did was, so it was a really good speech. And I urge anybody who listens to the show, go to the Daily Coach, daily_coach.com. We wrote a column about Todd Bowles addressing the team and asking these questions that he feels like what's missing in the team, right? And so one of them is, you know, one of the questions is how hungry are you? You know, do you want this? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, are you willing to do? You know, are you willing to risk what you did when you get here? You know, like, so for example, when you look at it, when you see this team, they don't seem to have that drive. And in this video, he talks to them about all the things that he sees with the team that they don't communicate with one another. But what we try to focus on in the article was, do you know what your job is and is inside and out? Do you really understand what that is? How good do you want to be? How much did you take for you to get here? How much will you lose when you leave here? And then how hungry are you? And essentially what it all comes back to, the cancer to most teams isn't selfish. It isn't greed. It's envy. Players become envious of other players. And that creates a cancer within the locker room. And as a coach, if you could address these 5 questions every day, you could try to offset that envy.
Okay, so let me ask you, how does Brady fit into that equation? The consummate professional, his teammates always love him, but what's happened with him this year has had to have an impact on the locker room. And also, it's a weird spot for Bowles to be in, no?
No doubt. I mean, it's really uncomfortable. And the offense hasn't been able to adjust. See, this is the other thing tonight that's going to be a real concern. Can they adjust to what Dennis Allen's going to do? Can they adjust to that? I don't know. You know, they didn't adjust to Cleveland. I mean, that's inexcusable to lose to Cleveland when you're up 17-10. When you had all these opportunities in the third and fourth quarter to put the game away. All you needed were 20 points, 23. One more touchdown, you win the game.
See, well, I'm just laughing because even though you're not betting with your own money, you know what it's like now all these years working at VSiN. When you give it out of side, and to full disclosure, you gave out Tampa in that game, and you lose when you shouldn't lose, the losses stick with you as a better more
horrible.
Than the wins.
I hate it. It drives me crazy. I know it's hard to win it giving out plays, but it drives me crazy when you handicap the game the right way and you still lose. That's what drives me crazy. You know, like I gave out Seattle yesterday, and I don't think that was the wrong play. I mean, the Raiders opened up as 6-point favorites against the Rams down there. Now, it'll be a home game for the Raiders. We know that. But Seattle turns the ball over in the second half twice in Ram territory. twice. And the Rams didn't have Aaron Donald. It wasn't like this Ram team is great. Bobby Wagner gets an interception. They fumble. If they don't turn those ball over, it's going to be an easy 7-point cover. But they did and they didn't. They moved the ball. They had 400 and some yards on them. They moved the ball up and down the field.
You're lamenting that one. The loss with Houston was even more egregious.
Yeah, but that was to me, that wasn't a handicap. That was just a pick.
I know. You were throwing a dart there.
But like I can't get mad at that one when you know Houston is bad. When you know their head coach is 23-76-1 in the last 8 years of being a head coach. That when they make mistakes, why does it surprise you?
Hey, Lovey's going to be fine. Louisville's got an open job there. The football program, he'll probably get that gig.
I mean, it's amazing.
He's got a horseshoe.
I mean, people say, well, I mean, you can't get rid of a coach one and done. They're actually worse this year than they were last year. I mean,
at least they were scrappy for Coley.
That was an embarrassing loss yesterday. To give up 21 points without your defense being on the field is embarrassing.
The vibe I'm getting from you, and I'll wait to the end of the show, if it's the hook, you like New Orleans. Yeah. If it's the three, maybe Tampa.
My day was really happy yesterday. The Raiders won, and Russo was 0-3. So my day was happy.
Honestly, that made
it can't get better than that.
Like,
even though I was 1-2 with his picks,
Just beat Russo.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
The betting splits, part of the Pro Tools. So remember when I told you earlier to get not just Michael's exclusive articles, but Thomas Gable's picks, you have to become a VSiN Pro. The only way to get the betting splits is to become a VSiN Pro. So go over there right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. We got a ton of new subscribers over the weekend. Become one. Get on the team, VSiN.com/subscribe, the betting splits. You always hear Michael and I referring to the betting splits, so that's something that you should get involved in as well. Love to see those splits. I can give you the numbers on Monday night, which I will in just a second, but let's go ahead and take a look at the matchups. You know, there was some consternation, or I guess some questions, Michael, of whether or not TCU, after the loss in the Big 12 championship game, would get in. The committee emphatically said yes, because they put them in at 3, right?
Yeah, I thought that was the right. I mean, I said on Sunday they needed to stay at 3. I mean, I think to me it's only fair. Why should you reward Ohio State, who stayed on the sidelines, and punish TCU because they wouldn't sneak the ball 6 inches? I mean, it doesn't make sense. You know, when you say, well, they lost to Kansas State. Look, they can only control who they play, right? I mean, Michigan was in a tight game with Purdue, and you know they were able to, and they eventually blew Purdue out. So I think it was the right call. I mean, I think the four best teams would be if Alabama was in it, but I do think it was the best call.
Well, you want to know something fascinating? So for those that don't know, Derek Stevens, who owns Circa, he's a Michigan guy through and through. So we kind of joke that Circa's a Michigan casino. They have Michigan 7.5. Everybody else has 9. TCU, Michigan, 9. There's one book as low as 7.5, and that's Circa. Isn't that crazy? That's a point and a half difference there.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, look, I to me, the one thing about Michigan is the longer the game goes, the tougher they get. And they wear you down. And I think this quarterback's different. I think he's a better player. I think it's the best quarterback Jim's had since he's been there, right?
Absolutely,
and so,
without a doubt.
You know, it gives them a chance to really, they could do it. I don't know if they're as good on defense as they were, but I do think he does.
Harbaugh, he would be interesting to hear your thoughts, maybe in written form, about him, because look at the machination of his situation there at Michigan. Came in, his oddities, full force, his sleeping in, you know, the houses with the recruits and acting weird and zany, and now he's calmed down, and oddly enough, him calming down and becoming more normal, his team has gotten tougher, his team has gotten more buttoned up. It's just been a weird maturation process there with Harbaugh at Michigan.
It really is, but they know who they are. They're a little bit like the Tennessee Titans, but they're more talented. They know who they are, and they play to it. And they know the longer the game goes, they're going to wear you down. And I think, well, you know, just look at Purdue. I mean, look at the game. You know, it was a close game. They don't flinch at close games. Yep. You know, they play hard. And so they're able to handle that. And I think, to me, you know, that's his personality kind of indoctrinating itself within the team. They run the ball well. You know, they play good defense. And they don't flinch. I mean, that's part of it. They understand what it is to be a tough team. And in college football, toughness is becoming less and less.
I point to a team, a school near you. Remember, Michigan was down, what, 10 at Rutgers? And came out
17-14 at the half, right? What? Yeah.
17-14, pardon me. But absolutely blew their doors off. So something happened in that locker room at halftime where they just said, look, we're much better than this team. Let's turn it up. And they did. And it was embarrassing for Rutgers in the second half.
You know, it's like last night. They were asking Mike McCarthy about the Colts starting the game so fast. Everybody expects when you're a heavy favorite to win the game in the first quarter. You're not going to win the game in the first quarter against anybody. The reason you play four quarters is because your talent will eventually shine over four quarters. And so you have to condition your team to understand that we're not going to blow this team away in the first quarter. It's not going to end in the first quarter. It's going to be a hard-fought game all the way through. And we've got to play well into the fourth quarter. And I think that's what Michigan does. So when they're playing Rutgers, who they're a 27-point favorite against, and it's close, and they come back and blow them out, they still do it. It requires toughness and a mindset, which I think Michigan has. Are they going to be good enough? I don't know. You know, they got the doors blown off them last year against Georgia. Georgia was way more physical, way more athletic.
Speaking of Georgia, are you coming with me to bet them at 6.5 before it gets to 7? Where is the Ohio State love coming from? Dude, wait, no, I'm being serious. Ohio State is soft. Georgia is the opposite of soft.
With a capital S. You know, and they're going to run the ball on them like Michigan did out of some two-back. I mean, this line opened at 7. It's down to 6.5.
Why?
Where is this coming
from? Explain it to me.
I don't know. I mean, C.J. Stroud, their offense. I mean, I don't know. People are mesmerized by offensive football. You know, I was surprised Alabama was only a 6-point favorite against Kansas State. Then it opened up at 6, and now it's at 5 in a lot of shops. When's the last time Alabama's been a less than a touchdown favorite against anybody other than Georgia?
You know, the fascinating thing about Kansas State, what I really like about what that coach did, and you like the coach a lot, but Adrian Martinez was one type of quarterback, and Will Howard's another type of quarterback, and they both excelled, but they switched up the offenses. They started bombing the ball with Will Howard, but they were running the ball with Adrian and Deuce Vaughn. Like, that's a good coach, being able to adjust on the fly like that and continue to win games. He's done that at K-State.
Yeah, but I think this Alabama game, the reason this line's so light is I think the book expects a lot of Alabama's pros to not play in the game.
That's a good point. It's a great point. I think that is probably the best. That's our pro tip of the day. Remember, these kids pull out of the bowls. We saw it with McCaffrey. I'm just bringing up a
not
big name,
Ohio,
but you see with
the final
huge
four,
names.
Not the final four teams. Nobody will pull out of those final four games. But these other
no,
ones,
we're talking
these
about
ones
the,
that
New Year's six,
the ones
they
that
will.
Don't
yes.
matter. The you know New Year's Eve game. They're going to. So to me, that line smells, and it smells because I don't think anybody's going to play. Like, how is Clemson? I know Tennessee's playing a backup quarterback. But Clemson's only a 5.5-point favorite against they're 5 against Tennessee.
By the way, you do realize Clemson is playing Tennessee. Do you know the commonality between those two teams this year?
South Carolina beat them both.
100%. Do you think my friends down in South Carolina aren't losing their freaking minds? First off, beating Clemson is the only thing that matters for a Gamecock. But the idea that they knock Tennessee out and those two teams have to play each other in the Orange Bowl, it's a fiesta down in Columbia, South Carolina.
They should have somebody from the South Carolina president should do the coin toss.
Shane Beamer. I honestly thought you were going to lose your mind when Georgia dipped to 6.5 because I know you've been all over Ohio State being soft all year.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, because I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And Georgia is the first team outside of Michigan, but Georgia's the first team when you think soft, you're like, well, I know one team that isn't soft. Just look at those kids on Georgia. Their weight room is different.
I mean, Georgia's got that tight end who's a tackle. I mean, I don't know what the hell to do with the number zero. Like, who is this guy? It looks like, you know, Herman Munster's playing tackle over here. Oh, my God. And he wipes out the whole side of the line. Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, this guy's great. I mean, I know he's not going to be in the passing game, but if you want to be tough and run the ball, I'll get behind you. You know, I'll get behind. How about Texas being favored over Washington? You don't think I'm going to be all over Washington in that game?
Oh, Fade Sark continues.
Of course. Kalen DeBoer versus Sark. I'm taking that every six ways but Sunday. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's 3.5. They have the hook hanging out there as well.
Yeah, I mean, get it while the getting's good. How about Utah, Penn State? I mean, they made Utah the favorite, which they should.
Oh, Utah should definitely be favored over Penn State. That's also a coaching mismatch. Sorry to the Franklin supporters.
How about this sneaky line? USC's less than a field goal favorite against Tulane.
Well, that first off, Tulane's got I can't recall his name. They've got the running back.
Hey, I think Tulane's as well coached as any college team I've seen this year.
Oh, he, their Fritz offense, does a great
I love
job.
Their offense. He's tremendous. I love their offense.
He does a hell of a. By the way, they should be. Tulane should be fit. USC is going to be with. Caleb Williams isn't going to play in this game.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, these games are meaningless. I mean, you know, they're really the reason these games are only they mean something to the underclass players who didn't play, so you get to practice more.
I'm glad you brought up Tulane. Their offense is hard to stop. Central Florida, your boy Gussie was having a problem on Saturday.
Gussie, the biggest problem Gussie has, when Gussie don't put the sweater vest on, we got no chance to win. I mean, that should be a betting tip of the day. Gussie without a sweater vest, go to the window, bet against him. He's got to have a sweater vest on to coach good.
I was watching Central Florida and Tulane over the weekend, and because of Michael, I was just saying to myself, I kept on going, Uncle Gussie.
Uncle Gussie's here.
Hey, everybody, it's the holidays. Where's Uncle Gussie? We're coming back with that sweater vest. He's got a new head coach at Boulder.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Lombardi Line brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you had a nice weekend. Michael Lombardi, we were just discussing, Michael's got a big play on South Korea and Brazil coming up in the World Cup.
Is that who's playing next? I thought so. Okay.
Yep.
I got to get home in time for that. You and Mike take the show over. I'm going to run home and watch that. Yeah.
Yes. You're a big South Korea guy. You can check out the guide over at VSiN.com/subscribe as we welcome in our partner, VSiN host, NFL insider, Mike Pritchard, of course, former first-round pick. And he was drafted, Michael Lombardi, out of, Colorado. And Colorado is in the news as they just named Deion Sanders the new head coach. He gave quite a speech to the current Colorado players. I'm curious what you thought about the I'm coming speech from Deion Sanders, Pritch.
Not shocking at all, to be honest with you guys. You know, I think a lot of people were not a lot of people. I don't know. I can't really gauge it, but I can only gauge myself. Man, I was on the edge of my seat with that speech. I think it was a speech that was impactful, that was needed, and it was everything that needed to happen, right? I mean, there's a reason why Prime Time is in Colorado and Boulder. There's a reason why Coach Prime is coaching CU football right now. 1-11 season is not acceptable, and the direction of the program was not acceptable. And we needed somebody like Deion, somebody with the presence, somebody with the profile, and somebody who could relate and connect with today's college student body, student athletes. I mean, I said NFL because certainly these student athletes have NFL on their mind. And there's no better conduit, I think, right now that can connect with the community, set the bar high, and then have the respect and have the history, I think, behind him, certainly to get the job done. So I thought it was an impactful moment, and one of those moments that when you know the cameras are on you, primetime is going to shine.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they're going to be relevant. The Colorado is going to be in a conversation, which they haven't been in a while. And he gives them that. And now it's going to come down to how he delegates this coaching staff and who he brings with him. And I think that's going to be really important, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael and Patrick. I think he put us on the fast track, CU on the fast track of being relevant again. I mean, we are immediately relevant and with the transfer portal and with commits and everything, right? And if Deion wasn't there, we wouldn't be on the fast track of that. It would be a slow grind. And, those slow grinds, a lot of times you can be left behind, right? This puts us in the race. This gives us a chance. As we see the college football expansion coming with the college football playoff, we're approaching bowl season. And more importantly, though, guys, the transfer portal is open. And we know that college football is all about free agency right now.
Michael, your homework today, not that you're not busy enough, I need you to watch the speech he gave to the players.
I want
to text you later to see what you thought. Because here's a couple things. One, what stood out in the speech is, I don't know if I've ever seen a human being with more of a magnetic aura and just an ability to captivate like Deion Sanders. I knew this as a kid when I was watching Deion. Like, he's a very special human being. He's going to win at Colorado. I thought Pritch going at these kids that were on a 1-11 team, they're 20-year-old kids sitting there, I thought he was a little disrespectful to them because they're in that spot. He comes in and he's essentially saying, get in the transfer portal, I'm bringing my guys with me.
Well, I mean, there is a weeding out process. I mean, we know that in a National Football League that only the best are going to be there. You know, you have to earn your job each and every day. You have to take advantage of your opportunity each and every day. If you think about college football, you know, getting and rewarded a scholarship was everything to a student athlete. But now that the business of college football has taken the forefront, it's different. And Prime, Coach Prime knows that. You know, he knows he's going to lose some players to the transfer portal. Hell, the history of CU in recent years, they lost a lot of players to the transfer portal. That's why a big reason that they were 1-11 this year. So go ahead and speed up and accelerate that process of people that are not no longer want to be a part of the program, and then bring in people that do want to be a part of the program and part of success. And I think if you can fast track that, I think you're ahead of the game that way.
You know, and I think this, look, what I have great respect for Deion is this conversation I had with Jim Harbaugh. We're sitting at Piedmont High School in California watching our two sons play for St. Mary's against Piedmont. And he says to me, I have a chance to become the head coach at the University of San Diego. And I said, you're crazy. Why would you take that job? And he said, because, like, you know, Bill Walsh told me, if you want to be a head coach, go be a head coach. And so he did, and he was successful. It got him the Stanford job, which then got him the 49er job, which now got him the Michigan job. Same thing with Deion. Deion was trying to get a job. He didn't blink. He took the Jackson State job. I mean, it wasn't a great job. They even have water problems in the city of Jackson. You know, there's no money there. He raised funds. He did what he had to do. He wasn't scared. He took the job. Now he's got Colorado. Heck, I said 3 years ago, Mike, Eric Bieniemy can't get a head coaching job in the NFL. He should take the Colorado job. Prove that he should be a head coach. People, oh, no, he doesn't. He shouldn't take the Colorado job. No, 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 he deserves an NFL job. Nobody deserves anything. It's only what you get. I give this guy a lot of credit. He said, you know what? I'll prove everybody wrong. I'll be a successful coach. What, did he lose 3 games at Jackson? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, that's impressive to me.
Yeah, more importantly, too, Michael, and I think the bluntness of his message, certainly, like I said earlier, I was on the edge of my seat. The kids that are going to buy in to Coach Prime are going to be on the edge of their seat. I put out this tweet last week, and I thought it was perfect, so I'll say it again. But, in order to be the best, you have to beat the best, right? But that's the final step. That's the final step. The first step is to seek knowledge from the best. More importantly, work with the best. And we all try to do that in order to better ourselves. And, you know, Dion, time after time, has proven to be the best. And I don't know if this guy knows how to fail. I don't think that's part of his DNA. What's part of his DNA is hard work, work ethic, taking a tough path, not being scared of that, but then also believing in himself and being confident enough that he knows he's going to get the job. You can convey that to a lot of student athletes. See, you will be successful.
No, I think you're both right. And I think it's a great anecdote from Michael about Harbaugh, about getting in the game, proving yourself. Look, wherever Dion went, they're going to be better off because he was there. He just has that type of personality. He's a force as a human being. Hey, Pritch, can I ask you, is a little off the beaten path, sure. But Michael just brought up Bieniemy. Why do you have a guess? Why hasn't Bieniemy gotten a job yet?
You know what? I don't know. I really can't answer that. I think there's been a number of factors that has held that back. I know he was close a few times, and I know he was at CU as an offensive coordinator with John Embry, who's now on the Miami Dolphins staff as the head coach. But Mike Bone, who's the athletic director now at USC, was the athletic director at CU. And, you know, things didn't work out right that way, but I can't call it. I think he's ready for it, to be honest with you, Patrick and Michael. I think he's prepared. He just needs to be given an opportunity or get an opportunity to become a head coach. You know, he's been on interviews, and I guess people can chalk that up as opportunities. But I cannot call it, or I don't understand why he has not been selected as a head coach yet.
Yeah, he must not. I mean, he's had so many interviews, and he never gets there, and he must not. He must not interview well. I mean, that's the only thing you could think of, because he's in front of the decision makers, and he hasn't been able to really win the interview. And a lot of this, as I've said many times, these jobs are elected, not selected, and he hasn't been able to win the election.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's crazy, right? Because of, you know, and we've all talked about it, like with Jeff Saturday. I mean, I don't even know what kind of interview he had, right? But you're right, Michael. I mean, we all understand there's 32 owners, and I know relationships can be strong, and there's fast tracks to head coaching jobs. You know, when you can interact with the front office and coaches, like I'm trying to remember what the job description is. With basically an offensive assistant that works in the front office and the coaching staff. And we're seeing that be a fast track for a lot of coaches, head coaches in the National Football League. The term escapes me, but I'll remember it before this show is over, though.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's so true, is the fact that these pro jobs and college jobs, I mean, you know, you've got to be able to win the election. I mean, just look at last night's coverage of Jeff Saturday. That was a campaign. Nobody was criticizing this. It was a complete campaign. I mean, it was like it was a political endorsement. He's going to be a great coach. Even though, you know, I mean, you could just see it. It was all set up. Nobody wants to say he's not ready. Oh, they got Reggie Wayne to say this. They got everybody to say that. What do you think people are going to say, that he's terrible, that he's not ready? I mean, come on. Dungy interviews him. It was a complete PR campaign.
That was nauseating. It's a good day to be a Buffalo. I just want to warn Deion Sanders, you can't have Pritch. He's not coming with you. He's staying with us at VSiN, and he's staying with us here on the Lombardi Line. More Mike Pritchard next. We'll get his take on Monday Night Football.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, our rewards program, hard for me to say, over at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. It's very simple. You can earn BetMGM reward points and convert them into free bets, airfare, anything you want. It's like a credit card. You get points. Use those points as a bonus. So make sure you go log on to BetMGM.com or download the app, and every time you make a bet, you get points. Rewards. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. We got you back here. Mike Pritchard joining Michael Lombardi, and I never know how to say that, here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Pritchard has something at the tip of his tongue that he can't pull, but he's going to figure it out before this 10 minutes ends. I wanted to ask Michael this because Stephen reminded me during the break. I want to get both your take. Michael, I don't know if you saw it, but Mike McDaniel is getting so much love today because I'm sure you saw the clip where he told Tua and the rest of the team, I effed up. And he is just getting lauded with praise for being such a player's coach and what a great guy. What was your take on that?
I didn't see it, but every time they've lost, he always takes the responsibility. You know, he always does. I mean, I think that's admirable. It's different than what Jeff Saturday did. Jeff Saturday comes out and says, well, you know, Matt Ryan knows he didn't play good, but I didn't want to pull him. Okay, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. You know, really nice of you to say that. Maybe you didn't coach very well either. I like it when it's all-inclusive. I like it. We didn't play very well. We didn't do it. And, you know, what he's doing is he's saying, hey, I didn't handle it very well. But I don't know. I watched that game this morning closely. I don't think when Tua's rushed, he's not as effective. I think the pressure bothered him. You know, they're going to sign Eric Fisher, the former Kansas City Chief left tackle, who's been out of football for a while, played with the Colts last year, not very well. They're going to sign him. That's how desperate they are at left tackle. Because of they're going to put Austin Jackson on IR. I mean, it's a tough road ahead of them. They got to play the Chargers, which they can beat the Chargers. Then they got to go back and play Buffalo.
Hey, Pritch, can I ask you, when a coach takes accountability, is it just coach speak or does it matter in the locker room?
No, it matters. You have to have credibility. You certainly have to have trust. And I think Mike McDaniel understands that and has communicated that very, very well to his players. You can see it. I mean, they respond to him. Tua has responded to Coach McDaniel that way. So credibility is everything. I think what Michael was talking about with Jeff Saturday, his credibility begins and ends with being a legendary player with that organization. Not as a coach, though, right? And it's completely different. And you can see the body language from those players, not inspired at all as everything was spiraling out of control. But just to piggyback too, I mean, the lack of situational football and when it comes to 2-minute offense, I mean, that really cost the Colts there at the first half and some other situations in the game too. And to me, that is about coaching and being prepared.
No doubt. But never said a word about it. Never said a word about it on the broadcast. I mean, it was one of the worst middle eight game. I mean, Mike McCarthy, 17 seconds, my man over there, Kellen Moore, 17 seconds he holds the ball. Like, at some point, does somebody not say, hey, look, they're going to get the ball. We got to control the ball. Let's start with a run. Let's get the clock going. Like, I don't understand why we can't educate people on the essence of football. You know, we wonder why Minnesota wins all their games because they're good at situational football. If we taught it more, it might be helpful. It was a joke. I mean, and then not to be outdone, you know, the Colts should never be in 2 minutes. They can't block. The only time they should be in 2 minutes is when they absolutely have to. They should always stay under center or kind of run their – they have to run their offense. They're not good enough.
You know what stood out to me, boys, is – Michael, and I want to get your take first, and we'll go to Pritch on this. When I was watching Seattle in that comeback on that final drive against the Rams – and again, it wasn't Seattle's best performance, but I'm watching Geno Smith, and what stands out to me, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Where did this come from? Like, he's playing great.
Accurate. I mean, his accuracy has been remarkable. I mean, he puts the ball. Look, he's grown up. I went to work Geno Smith out in 2013. I don't think he was mature enough to be an NFL player at that point. I think he's grown up. I think he had talent, but I don't think he was mature. Maybe that's Zach Wilson's problem, too. Sometimes it takes players to get mature before they actually really get to their level, but we'll see. I mean, you know, I thought that he's remarkable. It really is.
It really, Pritch, he's 32, and he's not just a guy that's going to get a contract with Seattle. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league right now, and that's without a doubt.
Yeah, he's playing for a lot more than just a starting role. I mean, the guy has not been a significant starter since, I want to say, 2014 in the National Football League. And here he is later on in his career taking advantage of an opportunity. And I think what's so impressive and what I can respect the most is that he's prepared, he's growing, And he's inspiring his teammates. I mean, DK Metcalf and Lockett both go over 100 yards, and those guys are making plays left and right. And he's elevating the Seattle Seahawks and offense right now. And I think for any situation out there as a quarterback, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure that you, not only you can lead that team and they believe in you, but can you elevate the performances out there? And we're seeing that from Seattle right now.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah. Yep. And the decision... They'll write books about it, Michael. Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer. They move on. They get a boatload back. Everybody's like, I can't believe you did that. They get Geno Smith. Geno Smith's now one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and Russell Wilson's gone the opposite way. That is a fascinating fascinating.
I said all summer, and credit to John Schneider and Pete Carroll, I don't know how they went on vacation knowing Geno was their quarterback, but they knew a hell of a lot more than I knew. And they watched Geno, and he's better. I'll say this. You know, if you thought Russell was bad in last week's game, did you watch him yesterday?
Oh my gosh. It almost seems purposeful. He couldn't
be playing worse. He's got no quickness anymore, Pritch. He's got no juice in his lower body.
Yeah. There's a clip out there. It's local radio and KOA. Hugh Millen, who was my quarterback, he does a show with Mike Holmgren, Michael Lombardi, up there in Seattle. He gave some comments that were really, really revealing. It's on KOA Radio. I know it's on your podcast. Go back. It's Hugh Millen. It is incredible about Russell Wilson, what happened in the building with Pete Carroll last year, the ego, the separation of Russell Wilson from that situation with that franchise, and the fact that it could be happening again with this franchise. You know, there was comments and reports about Russell audibilizing Seattle plays, and he wants to do so many different things, but yet Nathaniel Hackett wants to do other things, but Nathaniel Hackett is allowing it to happen. That right there is a problem.
No doubt. I mean, there's no leader there. But look, everybody heard, I know you did, I did, everybody in the league heard that Russell wasn't the perception that we all know in that building. We all know it was divish, and obviously, George Payton didn't hear it because he got, not only did he get sold to make the trade, he got sold to give out the cash.
Yeah.
I mean, here's Lamar Jackson. He didn't even get a contract. He's played better than these guys.
Right.
And these two guys, Russell gets a contract, and so does the mayor. He gets a contract.
Yep, Kyler Murray, 100%.
I got it. Okay. I got it, by the way.
Okay, boys. Oh, you do? Go ahead, your term.
Yes. Michael Lombardi, what is quality control? Because that position usually is a fast track for a guy to become a head coach, a quality control situation.
Yeah, a guy that's kind of like a chief of staff, assistant to the head coach. You know, the quality control, when I was younger getting in the league, it was basically you broke down film. You know, Eric Mangini was quality control. Everybody that started in Cleveland was quality control. You know, some form of just learning the game. Now it's about, you know, how I can implement the game and study the game. I think it's part that's missing is these advisors to the head coaches. Like, I really think it's a – I think there's somebody who's doing it from an analytical standpoint, but nobody's doing it from the game as it applies to analytics.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job, Pritch. You pulled it. You just in time.
I did.
Okay.
With a minute and a half to
start
to go.
With you. Hey, you nailed it. Three and a half. I'll give you both numbers. Tampa Bay laying three and a half. What way would you go here?
Well, I don't like the 3.5 because, I mean, it's Tampa there. I mean, we're showing three here. You can entertain that. I would be inclined to take the 3.5 with the Saints. Tom Brady has not been himself. 18 points a game. I think he only has 14 passing touchdowns, the same number as Andy Dalton. And we know Dennis Allen will have a solid plan to defend that passing game. Tampa cannot run the football. They're dead last in the National Football League.
Yeah, I think they're also bad in adjusting. I think one thing, Tampa might come out with a good plan to start off with, but in terms of adjusting the plan within the game to what Dennis Allen's doing, the longer the game goes, like the Cleveland game, you know, which they couldn't answer Joe Wood's problem, I think it favors the Saints. I only like the Saints at 3.5.
Yeah,
that's a great answer. Hey, we wish Stephen Bond, and thank you for your work on the Lombardi Line and GM Shuffle.
Appreciate
we
you,
wish
Stephen.
Him the best in his next venture. Yeah, thank you very
thank
much,
you so
Stephen
much,
Bond.
Stephen.
And we wish you the best
thank
of luck.
Stephen.
And be safe.
Good luck to your Bills, too.
Trip to
home field. Don't jinx them now, Stephen. They got home field back.
the Bills. And Pritch, we appreciate you every Monday. We'll talk to you next week, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, okay, guys. Yep. Thank you very much. Okay. Have a great week.
Have a good one. Big Bets is coming up next.